Appreciate the invitation this morning. Your pastor, he placed his trust in me, and I pray the Lord uses that trust this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I do have some slides, so I don't know if I have to press the button to make those come up or whatever, but this past week, we again witnessed how fragile life is. We never know that when we go out into the marketplace or different places that what's going to happen. Our people in Paris, they were at their different locations, and, terrorists took action. And I can remember back on September 11th, how I felt, and I'm thinking that maybe the country of France is feeling a little bit of the same thing today. I'm glad to know that even in all the insecurity that surrounds us in this world, that Jesus said it is well with my soul, and I'm glad for that. And I was thinking if I should sing that or not, but I feel led to sing that this morning. So, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. When my face shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that it is well with my soul. Lord, when everything around me caves in, I know that you are the rock that I can stand on. And Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity to preach this morning. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would get glory out of it. And I pray, God, Lord, that if there's somebody here that's in a backslidden condition or they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior, that today that they would move up, Lord, or they would accept you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just help us today to deliver this message, pray, God, that you would just get glory out of it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, getting something stolen is no fun, is it? You know, this happened nearly 40 years ago, but I still remember it. You know, I saved up my money to buy this baseball glove, and, you know, I was proud of it, and everything was good. You know, I was pleased with it, put my name on it. You know, I took it to school, and I'm not sure how it happened, but my glove went missing. Okay? Oh, yeah. But anyway, you know, it went missing. My glove was gone, and, you know, I was devastated by that. But when I looked around and I saw this kid by the name of Ronald Sawyer. Isn't it funny you can remember names like that, and you can't even remember the people that you hang out with throughout the week, but 40 years later you can remember somebody's name that stole something from you. But here, not that I'm bitter or anything, okay? But I can't remember who I hung out with or whatever, but this guy's name was Ronald Sawyer. Anyway, I saw Ronald Sawyer take my glove, and he had it, and he had used a black magic marker, and he'd scraped over my name and kind of redecorated the glove, so to speak, with that black magic marker. You know, he was happy. You know, he was excited that, you know, he had a glove, but it was a stolen piece of property. It wasn't his. I knew it was mine. I could look real close at it and know that all the markings, this was my baseball glove. Again, not that I'm bitter or anything, but I was hurt by that stolen property, you know. And I think I've gotten over it, but you know, there's still painful memories of that. You know, the Bureau of Justice, you know, there's some statistics out there in 2014 that 8% or nearly 10.4 million people experienced one or more property victimizations in 2014. You know, it's important for us to realize that even in spiritual matters, there's some stolen property out there. You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, that's a familiar passage of Scripture, but you think about it, there's a thief among us, isn't there? There's a thief among us. He would like nothing better than to steal your joy, to kill your spirit, to destroy your family, your home, or your life. You know, we think of it in spiritual manners, but it could probably be emotionally and physically and mentally as well, that he would like nothing more than to destroy people. You know, we can't stop at what the thief does, though. We can't stop there. If we were to stop there, we could probably live in a world that's kind of in decay and ruin our thinking, so to speak. But if we go a little bit further in that verse, the thief does that. But Jesus said that I have come that you might have life. And that you can have it more, what? You can have just a little life. That you could have just a taste of life. He says that you can have life more abundantly. That's to the fullest that you can have. You know, he came to give us life. In the Old Testament scripture that we're going to talk about today, there's a man that had to deal with a situation where he'd been victimized. You know, the enemy had trashed his life and had taken things from him. You know, we're familiar with David as this humble shepherd. You know, the killer of Goliath, the anointed one to the throne of Israel. We're used to that, those categories for David. We're used to this mighty king of his day. We're used to hearing the terms, you know, the one whom referred to as the man after God's own heart. However, David went through a very difficult period of time from the time that he was anointed by Samuel to become king. And then before he took the throne, he went through a very, very dark time. You know, as part of that time, he had to deal with the enemy and the stealing and destroying part of his life. So let's read the scripture found in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6. Now it happened as David went and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. Attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. You know, this is not what we expect to see of King David, is it? Or he wasn't king at this time, but this is not something that we would expect of him. Now, this is a mighty warrior. This is somebody that would fight battles. This is somebody that wouldn't let his guard down. But here we find that there's something wrong in the camp there at Ziklag that was his camp. You know, the men and the warriors, they didn't expect to see him in this situation either. You know, they'd gotten to the point that they threatened to kill him. David is at one of those lowest points of his life prior to becoming king. And it's probably the lowest up in his life up until this point. David was dealing with more than just tangible stuff being missing. You know, the camp, they came and raided the camp and looted the camp and took the stuff. But here he was, the anointed, so to speak. And here he was, men were questioning him and people were ready to stone him. He was at a very low point in his life. What had David lost? You know, what did he lose? You know, let's do a little brief history of his past before we get started. You know, Samuel, the prophet of Israel, had anointed David by God's direction to be the next king. David had killed the mighty Goliath, you know, the Philistine giant there. And David had victory upon victory for Israel, so much so that the chant as he rode back into camp from battle was David has killed his, or Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. The chants were there. David was definitely a rising star, so to speak, because God's hand was upon him. You know, these accolades made Saul, the current king, jealous. You know, so much so that he wanted nothing more than to kill David at this time. You know, David then had to flee because he would not stoop to the level of killing King Saul to take the throne. You know, he had opportunities to kill. He had been on the run. He was able to kill Saul if he wanted to take the throne, but he would not do that. David, though, continued to live in hiding. At one point during his hiding, he had gotten kind of discouraged. And there in 1 Samuel chapter 27, David thought in his heart that he would just be wise if he just joined the enemy. He got so low that he says, I'm just going to join the enemy. I'm going to join, he didn't call him the enemy, I'm just going to go join myself with the people of Gath. Those were the Philistines. I'm just going to join up with the enemy. It won't hurt anything. I'll just kind of join in with them a little bit. But now he's joining forces with those that were opposed to the things of God. What a step for this man that was anointed, that he would stoop to the level that he would join the enemy. This once mighty warrior for Israel was now doing small raids for the enemy. David was ready to take the next step. If you were to read in chapter 27 there, David was even, he was doing the little raids, but now he was getting ready to take the next step in his downward spiral. He was going to fight against Israel. He was going to fight against the people of God, but the enemy, they didn't trust him. Hey, isn't this the guy that was against us earlier? And now we're going to let him raid with us and we're going to let him destroy these armies of Israel with us? But as we walk through that, that's where we find ourselves in chapter 30. That up to this point, now David, he's not able to fight with Saul. He's not able to fight with the Philistines. He's not able to really take part in anything. And now he's coming back to his home camp, so to speak, of Ziklag. He's being sent home by the enemy. But when he's arriving home, he finds his wife's kidnapped. He didn't know that, though. He just saw the camp burnt down. He didn't know what was happening. But his wives had been kidnapped, his property stolen, and his current home had been burned. So here we find David, the once mighty warrior, the rising star, away from where he should be, in enemy territory. You know, he let his family be unprotected. He was sitting in debris. He was exhausted by fighting and traveling. It was the city was burned out. His possessions gone. His family captive. He was pursued by a king that really didn't want anything to do with him. He was ready to kill him, but he had shown the utmost respect for him. He was grieved at the thought of his loss of his sons and his daughters. His own men, they were defeated and they were ready to kill him. this was more than just some kind of stolen property, so to speak. Have I painted a bleak enough picture for you? He was really down. He was at a low point. He was someplace that he shouldn't have been. This was God's anointed. This was God's man. But he had been taken, all these things had been taken captive. There's something stolen from him. You know, first of all, we see that David lost his security. It had been taken. He was in distress. He was in distress. He had no fortified city to go back to. He had no camp to go back to. He didn't have anybody looking out for him. His men were even ready to stone him. He found his life, no family, no homeland. His security was gone. David's joy had been taken. You know, he wept for his family and his fear of loss there. He grieved with his men. David wasn't used to defeat. Up until this point, I don't think he'd ever suffered a defeat. He wasn't ready for this loss that he suffered. His joy was gone. David's worth was all out, at an all-time low. You know, I'm not talking about possessions worth. I'm talking about his inner being type of worth. He couldn't stand with Saul. Saul wouldn't let him. He couldn't stand with Gath. They wouldn't let him. You know, he hadn't protected his family, so he hadn't really done his job at home. He couldn't be the leader that he was supposed to be in front of his men. His worth was gone. He was low. This is just stolen from him. David's emotions were a wreck. 1 Samuel 30 says he was distressed. Seems like kind of a weak term. When you read over it, he was distressed. But looking it up in the dictionary and studying it out from Scripture, this was more than just like a subtle feeling that he had. Well, I feel distressed today. I feel down today. This was acute mental suffering. Have you ever been to the point where you just got so low that, man, I just don't know which way to turn. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I just don't know which way to go. You're just torn up inside. That's where we find David. He was a mess. He was hurting. He was being attacked, and he had cried till he had no more strength at all to cry. David's purpose was destroyed. Wasn't he the Lord's anointed? This was the Lord's anointed. Samuel put 7 sons before him, and now, hey, you have any more? And Samuel said, bring David here. He's the one that the Lord wants. He anointed him king. But now he was running with the wrong crowd. He was running with the enemy. He was running with them. David's power was gone. This wasn't the man that Samuel anointed. Now that I've got you really down, I'm trying to bring you up now, all right? Living away from God is not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight when you live away from God. David no doubt felt energized at first when he was away from Saul and doing these little raids with the Philistines. You know, he probably felt energized. I still feel my purpose. I still feel like I'm a warrior. I still feel like I'm into this. But now his life was a mess. Perhaps some of you have known the favor of God. You've known the favor of God. Perhaps some of you have felt he's called you to salvation. Perhaps some of you felt like he's called you to something greater. But now you're too close to the enemy. You're too close to the enemy. That you have some stolen property. Maybe your joy is gone. Maybe your purpose is gone. Maybe the security, it's in shambles. Lord, I just don't feel you, Lord. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe your worth inside seems to be at a low point. Maybe your emotions are a wreck. I'm just a mess. The power that you once had with God is gone. There's a thief among us. There's a thief among us. He deals in stolen property. He deals in stolen property. The thief comes what? To steal. To kill and destroy. It's subtle at first. It's subtle at first. You know, you don't let a thief into your door, do you? Oh, you're a thief. Come on in. Oh, you're here to kill me. Come on in. Oh, you want to destroy me. Come on in. You don't do that. It's subtle. David, this was a subtle thing. Yes, you know, he tried to do his best in front of Saul, but then he started walking away, eventually to the point that he joined forces with the enemy. Now that's the low point. That's a low point in anybody's life, that we get to the point that we're just so away from God that we feel like all these things are gone. It's stolen property. It's been stolen from us. Maybe as he sat there, he began to remember, though, some of the psalms that he wrote. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters for his namesake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're with me. You know, that's Psalm 23. Maybe he remembered it. He didn't write, maybe this is Psalm 23, but maybe he remembered some of those words that he penned. Maybe he thought of Psalm 42, 5. Where art thou cast down, O my soul? Where art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Maybe he started thinking of Psalm 56. You know, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Mine enemies would swallow me up. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Maybe he started, you know, as he sat there among his brothers and he sat there amongst his warriors, he started thinking about these psalms that he had written, those times of experience that he had with God. In God I have put my trust. God is with me. Even he'll capture my tears. Man would swallow me up. He, in a horrible pit, I find myself, but he picked me up and he'll establish my going. You know, you think about that. Maybe he began to remember that. And then his life began to change. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Abimelech's son, "These, please bring the ephod." I can't see that on the screen. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Maybe he's beginning to come up a little bit. Maybe he was down at his lowest point, but then he started remembering some of the psalms. Maybe he began strengthening himself in the Lord. Maybe you've been at a low point in your life and you've got nothing else to fall on. Well, guess what? You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. How did he recover? Strengthen himself in the Lord. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Maybe you've got some stolen property this morning in your life. Maybe you've been down to the point where it just seems like you're so low that you have nowhere to turn. Well, why don't you strengthen yourself in the Lord? You know, if you were to look at that term in King James, it says encourage, but here it says strengthen himself. That word strengthen means it's not just something that he just pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. It's not something that he just pulled his Superman cape on and all of a sudden he became Superman and he strengthened himself in the Lord. What this word means is that it was a gradual thing. He had to, you know, it doesn't say that he came to full strength here either. He began to just strengthen himself. Have you ever been weak and you've been tired or whatever, and maybe a cool glass of water, that kind of lifted you up a little bit. Maybe a meal kind of lifted you up a little bit. That's the kind of strengthening that we're talking about here. David didn't all of a sudden become this super giant for the Lord again, but he strengthened himself. He looked, I am at a low point. I need to build myself up. Sometimes we think that we can just kind of flip a switch when we need strength, and that's not the way it happens. Sometimes we just have to strengthen ourselves. We have to get the next bite, the next drink of water, the next scripture, the next psalm, whatever it is, to make it through the next hour. David strengthened himself in the Lord. You know, we've got a lot of people that think that Christians are supposed to be super Christians. We're not. We're broken people. We are in need of a Savior. If we could do it ourselves, we wouldn't need all of that. We would need Him. But we need a Savior. We're not talking, you know, as people come in here, they need to know that this is a Holy Ghost hospital, not a place for people to sit and be saints. You're here to recover. You're not here. You know, we have different doctors, so to speak, if you will, teachers and different people, but we're here to help each other. We're to strengthen each other. You know what? Maybe I blew it this week and I need your encouragement. Maybe you blew it this week and you need encouragement. We need to strengthen each other in the Lord. You know what? Have you ever felt like your joy is gone? Maybe you come into church and somebody says, "What's the matter with you?" Maybe instead of somebody coming into church that way, maybe you smile at them. Maybe you hug them. Maybe you say, "Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can help you with?" We need to strengthen ourselves. And maybe it's not a person. Maybe you just kind of want to be left alone, but you need to strengthen yourself in the Word of God. Those Psalms were in there for a reason. David had all kinds of emotions that he had, and he poured those out in the Psalms, and we can use those. We can use those. Maybe you're not feeling very secure. Maybe you lost your job this week. Maybe you lost your job in the last month and you're feeling, "Where's my purpose? Where's my power? Where's my security?" We need to help each other. We need to help. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He wasn't getting it from the warriors, was he? The warriors wanted to stone him. The warriors there in 1 Samuel 30 were ready to just kind of get rid of him. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Turn to God. He's not far away. He's not far away. David, he was down to his last straw. He couldn't just, you know, flip a switch. He needed the strength, not as a physical warrior. If it was a physical thing, you know, I'm thinking David could have handled anything. He was a warrior. That's what he did. He knew how to fight. But as a person who needed that, he had that inner distress going on, he needed something more. He needed something more than that. You know, if it was commanding men, if it was throwing a spear, if it was wielding a sword, David probably would have been just fine. But David's power was gone. It was gone. He was distressed. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Do you have a family issue this morning? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. I'm not up here to tell you today that all your family problems are going to be settled. You know, you come to the Lord today and everything's going to be just fine right here. You know, I'm not saying that at all. You may get up and go home to the same kids, the same spouse, the same situation that you had. But there's something you can take with you. There's something you can take with you. The Lord said, "I'm with you. I'm with you." You know, I know that's not the silver bullet that people are looking for. "Hey, I need something to solve my problems right now. I'm done." Isn't that what Christianity's about? Isn't that what the Lord is all about, that I can come and, you know, all my problems are solved? Not at all. Not at all. I do know this, your eternity's secure. You know, I do know this, that your sins are forgiven. I do know this, that He said that He would provide the peace that you need. He would provide the strength that you need. He would provide the situation. He said He would even provide a way out. He didn't say when or where, but He would provide a way out. So I'm here to tell you today that yes, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there is no other, for Jesus is the way. But He's come to give you life. He's not come to take your life. He's come to give you life. David's power was gone. Do you have some financial struggles? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Have you strayed and you're sitting in enemy territory right now? You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord and also get out of the enemy territory. As David began to regain some strength, he realized he needed to hear from God. He needed to hear from God. In verses 7 and 8 of that chapter, he summoned Abiathar the priest. Hey, bring me the ephod, please. Bring me the ephod. You know, he wasn't near a tabernacle. Usually, at that time, they did business in the tabernacle. They did everything that they had to do before God, they did in the tabernacle. The priest carried the ephod, and everything was happened right in the tabernacle. But they didn't have that luxury right now. Abiathar, please bring me the ephod. I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. You know, this was a vest that this ephod was that had two precious stones on it, Urim and Thummim. You know, God answered or spoke based on, you know, how those stones reacted to the question. You know, in that vest, decisions were made. God, I need you to answer. Maybe this morning you came in and you thought, you know, I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. I need something, Lord, that will help me. I need something. I don't have an ephod this morning. But I do know that if you want to hear from God, He'll let you hear. David inquired of the Lord. That was his next step. How did he recover? He inquired of the Lord, God, what do you want? No, I can come to God with my preconceived notions of what I want to happen. God, I want this situation to happen. I want this, but that may not be what God wants. We need to get the ephod, so to speak, in our lives. We need to go back and say, God, I need to hear from you. God, I don't know how to handle this family situation. God, I don't know how to handle these finances. God, I don't know how that I'm going to handle this work situation. God, I don't know how, but I need to hear from you. Should I pursue? David said, should I pursue? God answered. Maybe today you need an answer from God. You need that answer from God. God, I need to hear. I don't know how He's going to speak to you. But if you strengthen yourself in the Lord and you inquire of what He wants and what He's asking, I guarantee you, you'll hear from Him. You'll hear from Him. It may be in a song. It may be in a word spoken from behind this desk. It may be from somebody that you have conversation with. It may be that you need to kneel in your closet somewhere and realize that, God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. You know, David here, he was unsure. He didn't know really at this point whether his family was dead or alive. He didn't know what had happened to his things. He didn't know. All he know, he's sitting in a burnt out camp here and just didn't know where to turn. God, how should I proceed? What should I do about this? What should I do about this? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. We need to take that to heart. Because sometimes we kind of get ahead of God, don't we? We try to solve it. We try to fix it. We try to do our own thing, but we can't. David here, he thought it was, in chapter 27, thought it'd be a good idea to just join forces with the enemy. You know, my people don't want me. I'm going to join them. But that wasn't the way God wanted it. So until he got to the low point, began to strengthen himself in the Lord, he inquired of the Lord, but then guess what? He had to obey. David obeyed what the Lord told him to do. So David went. Verse 9. David went. Did he know where he was going? He had no clue. You're going to leave here today, and maybe you were looking for an answer from me. I don't have it, okay? You walk out this door and you're saying, God, you know, this preacher, you know, he didn't really help me too much today. But he told me that if I should just trust you, I should just trust you. So I'm going to walk out the doors today. I don't know where it's going to lead, but I'm going to trust you as I walk out the door. Guess what? That next step gets easier. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey what you said for me to do. What did David have to do? He pursued. He pursued. David went. Okay, he didn't go back to his men and say, let's go, boys. He said, you know, he probably did that, but he didn't say this is what needs to be done. So David went with his 600 men two of them were too, 200 of them were too tired, so they stayed back to watch what was left of the camp, and the 400 went on with David. And David pursued. When David left Ziklag, I don't think he knew where he was headed. Didn't know where the enemy had taken his family. But God placed people and events in his life to help him recover. If you'll look, you know, further down in that passage of Scripture, there just happened to be an Egyptian that the enemy had left in the field. They'd left in the field. The enemy had left this Egyptian out in the field and thought he was sick, so just left him for dead out there. And David happened upon him. David happened upon him and says, you know, tell me where the enemies were. You know, he says, look, I was with them, and I know they went down a little bit farther, so follow that way. And as long as you don't kill me, take me with you. But don't kill me. That's what that Egyptian said. But so David found this man that helped him recover. You know what? This week, as you're going down through your week, maybe there'll be somebody that steps up and they'll have a word for you. Or maybe there'll be somebody that, you know, a song that comes to your mind and, wow, that's exactly what I needed. That's what I needed. You know, maybe that the events of your life didn't turn out the way you thought up until today, but for some reason, things are beginning to shift. I'm going to trust you, Lord. And you start to see things happen a little bit different. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to start doing what you ask. And things begin to shift. People begin put in place. Things happen. You can't explain situations that maybe in the past would have set you into hysteria. Now you've found some kind of peace inside that helps you deal with them. You know, God uses events, uses people, uses his word, uses prayer, uses those things to help us to recover when things are happening. You may not know what 5 years down the road looks like. No one of us do. But you need to step out in obedience one step at a time to recover that stolen property. God will place the people, the events in your life as it pleases him, and it'll help you trust him more. You act in obedience, and everything can be recovered. Everything that David was missing, he reclaimed. He reclaimed. David recovered all. Verse 18. You know, based on the promises of God. God promised, and back up in verses 8 and 9, says, you'll recover. Was God faithful to his promise? Yes, he was. Is God faithful to his promises now? You better believe he is. David recovered all. David sent some of the spoils on to the tribe of Judah, where he came from. He was trying to reconcile now. You know, he'd been far away from his camp, and if you were to read later on in chapter 30 there, he sent some of the spoils that he gathered on to Judah. So he was basically positioning himself to be used by the Lord again. You know, he was in an enemy camp. He was there. But now, you know, he'd gone down there and recovered what the Lord had told him to recover, and he got these spoils, and he started sending some back to Judah. Not to Gath, not to the Philistines, but to Judah. That was his homeland. He began sending some of them back, and he began to position himself to be used by the Lord again. You know, no longer was he going to fight with the enemy. His first love was coming back. His first love was coming back. His calling was coming back. You know, in the next few chapters, David is set to take the position that God wanted him to have. He hit a low point. People wanted to kill him. He'd lost everything, and there he was sitting, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He reclaimed what the Lord said in his promises that he could. And then he began to position himself so that he could be used by God. God may have taken him through something to get him to something. Today, you may be going through something because God wants to take you to something. I don't know what it is. I don't have that ability. But do you have some stolen property spiritually this morning? Is your joy gone? Is your security gone? Is your worth, so to speak, spiritually gone? Is your emotions gone? Is your purpose gone? Is your power gone? It can be recovered. It can be recovered. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. One step at a time. One step at a time. Just strengthen yourself. Get into His Word. I don't want you to read books at a time unless that's what you're called to do. Read a few verses at least. Get somewhere that you can look and, God, I need to hear from You. I want to strengthen myself in You. I want to inquire of You. God, what do You want me to do? And just obey what you hear God asking you to do. Reclaim what His promises. Position yourself for what He wants you to do. You know, going back to that John 10:10 verse. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. God wants you to have life this morning. He's not a God of stolen property. He redeems property. He redeems property. He recovers property. Have you lost something this morning? God can bring it back. God can bring it back. He can bring that peace that you're looking for. He can bring that joy that you're looking for. He can bring that sense of purpose back in your life. But you need to strengthen yourself in Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray, God, this morning that You would receive glory out of what was just mentioned. Lord, there's a lot of people that have gone through battles. Lord, they've gone through difficult times and they've gone through situations, you know, that they're just painful. Lord, that the enemy has kind of robbed them. There's stolen property out there, and God, we just don't know how to go back and get it. But God, You said that we could strengthen ourselves in You. You are the God of our comfort. You're the God of peace. You're the God of knows it all. So God, would You help us, Lord, to take the first step of obedience? And just say, God, I'm going to trust You. I can't see where You're taking me, but I trust the heart that's taking me there. So, Lord, I trust You this morning with my life. And I pray, God, that You would just use me. Position myself, Lord, for Your will and Your glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.